01 to 04, 05, 06.
Yeah.
That was Florida, right?
That one.
05, 06?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for Florida.
Because I met you in 06 as soon as you got back. Like, almost as soon as you got... When did you get back?
05. September.
September 05. Yeah, because I met you, like, the next summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you came in from the jetty, but that night was Rick.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. Dude, I showed up down there to catch bait to go boat fishing the day before. And I knew Rick and Neil. And he fished with Rick and Neil that night. So, a couple days later, Rick posts on Tidal Fish? No, not Tidal Fish. Pier and Surf.
Pier and Surf.
That Kevin was looking for somebody to go sheep's head fishing with the next day. And I was like, fuck it, I'm off the next day. I can do it. So I get a hold of him, I'm like, what do I need? He's like, braid like this, this like this. I go spend like a massive amount of cash, like at one point. Like at one time. Just get rigged up. Dude, we paddled out there with 3 dozen fiddlers apiece and we're out of
base. Yeah, you told me about it.
Dude, we were out of base. 8 o'clock, we were out of base. Like, looking at each other like I had used all my fiddler claws by then.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at each other like, the fuck are we going to do now?
Early, too. I mean, it was so early. It was something like the sun had just come up or something like that. It was way early.
Yeah, and but it was 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we started already paddling out there. We paddled out before dark. So we
Sunset, yeah. Sunrise, he caught his citation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like... A couple minutes went by with nothing, and then I started catching, like, my first tog ever. But then I started catching togs.
Right.
And he moved closer to me, and then we both started catching togs. And I caught a sheep's head, and I don't know if you caught any more sheep's head that day or not, but I caught one sheep's head, kept catching togs, I caught... 2 or 3 trigger fish.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like we were getting robbed. We were catching a lot of fish. It was like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started right in the middle of a conversation. We're live right in the middle of a conversation.
Oh, yeah. That's what I figured.
Nice.
It's the story of how I met Kayak.
Sweet.
I love that story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that was also, it was like, at the time, you know, I knew Rick, so I knew a good fisherman. I wanted to fish with a good fisherman. I saw him catch one. I was like, he can fight.
And the one thing you said, like, also is you were like, as soon as I hooked that fish, you were as excited as I was. I mean, like, I was, like, it was crazy, dude. I freshwater fished.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was my first trip. Like, I mean, I had gone to the ODU Reef, so it wasn't my first trip in open water. Because I had been flounder fishing, but all I had done was flounder fish.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I literally hadn't even caught a puppy drum yet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch a puppy drum until like a couple months later in that summer. Like, my whole saltwater fishing career started at Sandbridge Pier with 9 giant big drum.
That's right. Because you were there that year when they caught like 500 of them or something.
Oh, yeah, it was
like
insane. It was insane. But I saw it the year before. I saw it the year before, and I was down there surf fishing, and a guy I was fishing with, Bo, knew somebody up on the pier. Well, the surf fishing was done. We hadn't caught anything in a couple of hours. So we walk up on the pier to talk to Lewis, who Bo knew, and all of a sudden this guy on the pier gets a screaming run. I mean, he fights this fish, dude. It is like, I'm baffled. I've never seen anything like this before in my entire life. And so this fish is just running, and I mean, so he catches it. They put it on the pier, and I look at this thing, and like, I swear that my exact thought was, this is me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, this is me.
I need one.
I don't have the money right now to get myself set up, because, I mean, setting up for the surf fishing, the pier fishing, it's not cheap.
Right.
You know, the reels and the rods.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I said, the next year, I'm going to be ready.
Yeah.
So, the next year, I got ready, and I went down there. I caught the drum, finally, after sitting on the pier for I don't know how many days. But those old guys, you know, but they taught me everything that, you know, everything I know about it. So...
Yeah.
And then, I guess it was probably, I met you the next summer. That was September.
Mm-hmm.
I met you the next summer. I didn't catch a puppy drum until probably, because that was early summer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start fishing around the Little Creek Jetty like you guys did until a couple weeks after we went sheep's head fishing.
Yeah.
And then, all I caught was flounder around there. Yep. And then a couple weeks later, I finally caught a puppy drum. I was sitting in the kayak, and I hooked this puppy drum. This thing starts pulling me all around. I'm like, Mike, what do I have? What's going on? Yeah, so I caught 9 big drum before I ever caught my first puppy drum ever.
Yeah, that was some crazy. That you heard about that when they were catching, like, it was at least 300, I think, the actual, I mean, it was...
That's, oh, no, 300 is an understatement, because we caught 70-some in one day.
Right. And I believe they tagged a lot of them.
Yeah, so, people were running out of tags.
Yeah.
It was,
guys were coming
you
in.
You would show tagging. Up to the yeah. pier some mornings, if you weren't there when they opened, you would show up to the pier and 7 or 8 guys would already be hooked up. There'd be a line 20 deep to cast. I mean, it was just nuts. Insane.
Yeah.
And that's how I started. I guess the next year I started fishing from the shore, you know, as soon as spring came around, for flounder from Rudy, and with Mike again, just like and then...
You're talking about Mike P?
Mike P, yeah. So I'm fishing for the flounder, and then one day on Memorial Day, I got to go to work at Chick's, and I get that big gray trout bite.
Oh, yeah.
That was so mysterious. Out of nowhere. Nobody's caught a giant gray trout anywhere in a long time.
It was 30-something
inch. Yeah, it was 30, like 33 and a half. Yeah. The tail was so raw, you couldn't even actually get a measurement on the fish because it looked like female bass do in the spring with the spawning. Yeah, they just wore their tail out. I mean, their tail was completely gone, but it was 12 pounds and 4 ounces. I mean, it was like... that was how my saltwater started.
Yeah.
Yep. And I met Kevin a couple weeks after that.
And then coming out and tog fishing, sheephead fishing.
Sheephead fishing, yeah. But a couple weeks later, I started, because a couple weeks after I caught the trout, or right about that time, I had either bought Zach's dad's kayak or was getting Zach's dad's kayak. Because right around the exact same time. Yeah. And then catching flounder in Little Creek.
Yeah.
And Rudy, and then fishing around Lynn Haven a little bit, and then straight to the island.
Yep. Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
Here we are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. And this is the Kayak Kevin podcast number 2. And we have Lee Williams over here. You already have heard the introduction from Lee. And Rob Choi. It's Rob Choi. So it's good to have both of you guys here.
Both of them, actually.
Rob Choi. We know Rob Choi. Well, for a long time, somebody was like, yeah, you know Rob Choi? Rob Choi.
Not the first time.
Rob Choi, number 1.
That's right.
That's an inside joke.
That's another long story. That name progressed for a couple years.
All right, so we just went on about how Lee just started saltwater fishing.
Out of nowhere.
And that's the thing, is you came from freshwater.
Yeah.
And
that's what we were talking about before we even got to that, probably, is I started freshwater fishing. Yeah. Like, every day.
And you're still trying to get, we try to get out and go just freshwater.
Every now and then.
Well, you, last time you went out, you got pretty frustrated, I think. You went out with, was it Jay?
Yeah.
It was a frustrating day because you just.
Every bass I ever hook in a kayak gets off. I've caught one in, what's it been, 7 or 8 years now?
When I came over to salt water and then you lost the bass water.
I didn't try it at all, ever. And then, I mean, every time I go now, I lose fish. It's crazy.
You didn't have much luck when you came up to the James either.
No, I mean, I didn't have a bad day.
I caught
a few hickories. I got one American. I did miss the bite on the catfish that night.
Right.
And then the next time I went up, I did see a couple of decent smallmouth, but all I caught was small ones.
Right. Well, it's not too bad then, actually.
That was the second smallmouth I've ever caught in my entire life.
Dude. Yeah.
We should do it again in March.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming.
March. That's me tog season again.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's...
Oh, no, man. If it doesn't get real cold, it's going to be drum season by then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was looking at the water temperatures and up at... Assateague Island and Chincoteague Island, where somebody was saying they're catching some striper out there. Well, that water in the back has been sun lit up, and it's warming up around there, and actually almost looking like a springtime pattern over there already.
Wow.
It's just, I'm sure that'll get blasted with this next cold front. But
have you looked at the water around where we're? The striper fishing water up there around Cape Charles and Kipta Peak is really like right exactly where it should be.
Yeah.
45 and a half to 46 degrees in the middle of the days. Yeah. Those, I mean, nobody's catching any fish out in the ocean. Who knows?
Well, they're way out in the ocean.
Right, or way out in the ocean. Those bay fish, I mean, man.
Yeah.
We almost went yesterday night.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then you go the other night and you got small ones,
you
right? Or, yeah. You're
we just had some small pulls.
Small, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, something just...
But nothing.
Yeah, nothing hooked. No. Yeah. It wasn't cold though. It was nice and warm.
That's all I said was that. I just have a hard time. I just can't drive like I used to.
This
is killing me.
Well, what are you going to this year? I mean, this is a new year for you coming up.
I'm not going after anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, you don't have. Yeah, you're off of that pressure, and yeah, I know. You even know from watching me.
I tried it the year you got it. I was trying it the year you got it, and the only one I didn't get was the tog.
Yeah,
the one you got at the last minute of the one I didn't.
And that's always seems to be.
I was stressing.
It's the toughest one to get, and it's always at the end of the season when you already have everything else.
I got a couple different. I think I actually ended up with four that year. Which I mean, I got. I think I got four out of the.
You made expert this past year. Boat and
I got
kayak.
Seven this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cobia, shark, drum, amberjack.
Amberjack.
Sheep's head.
Yeah, four off kayak, though.
What are the other ones? Speckled trout.
Yep.
There's one more that I got that was...
You counted sheep's head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Counted red
sheep's head. There's another one.
Yeah,
I kind of said the other one.
Yeah.
Because if one had made it,
king.
No,
you want to get a king on boat?
No, cobia, amberjack, cobia, amberjack, and shark on the boat, and then I got four out of the yak.
So you don't have what?
Striper.
There it is.
Yeah.
I finally caught a striper.
Yeah.
The one I can't remember. I finally caught a striper.
Yeah, it's been so long. What is that? Oh, yeah. Did catch one of those.
Out of everybody that night, I'm glad it was actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Was I was like, yes. Was,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I'm probably going to fish the James a little more. I still want a cobia out of a kayak.
I think that's a plan for a lot of people.
After last year, I saw so many last year, and I just, for whatever reason, either I screwed up or they weren't hungry, and so I definitely want to try
you
that
saw
again.
Them
after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to see them is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple other species. But yeah, I mean, I actually want to do a mothership trip. I'm kind of bummed that
was going to go on this weekend, wasn't it?
Today.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was out there for the first two that we did with Rick, and yeah. I mean, the very first one was no joke. The very first one, we went fishing for bluefins.
Yeah.
That's
the one with Matt.
And we hooked them left and right. Matt caught one 167, 156 or 167. But every one of us out there hooked fish left and right that day. I mean, it was so crazy. The fish were so thick. You'd be fighting one for 3, 4, 5 minutes, and all of a sudden the braid would just break in the middle. For no, I mean,
you're thinking,
oh yes, I'm not thinking.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden.
All you gotta do is look down into the water. looking down into the water that day was scary.
Yeah,
there was so much life. There was tuna from 100 to 300 pounds down there, and
you're seeing them.
Hammerhead sharks,
10,
12 foot. You know, I mean, just big hammerhead sharks migrating in groups sometimes, sometimes single, but. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the water was so alive.
Yeah.
So alive. False albacores, bluefin tuna. I mean, crazy.
Yeah. I would love to do that stuff, but it costs money. Yeah. That's real money there. That's not like
especially now
$50 fishing trips that you're going across the bridge cost an average fishing trip for us going after big fish. Your big effort is like $50 to you a little bit more because you're going out of town, but for us going across the bridge, gas, food, whatever, $50. You're talking like hundreds of dollars to go for one fishing trip. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Right.
Yeah. That's hard. But it looks a lot. It does look like a lot of fun.
That king trip looked crazy.
Because that's a whole different, and that's another thing. That's a whole different technique. Whole different fish for me. I've never dealt with pelagics. You know, forktail runners.
Right.
And depth. It's a whole new area where I have not dealt with it because the only deepest thing I've had to deal with is around the bridge or 20 to 50 feet maybe at the most.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. Of a fight. So, something goes down.
And you've never hooked a real big fish in 50 foot.
No. Not a real big one. No. No, a striper.
That's yeah, strippers. That's it. That's not gonna, striper. That's not gonna, striper. They don't that's even not gonna, take all the water to go to the bottom.
The Reds are the biggest thing I've hooked in 30 foot of water. That's the deepest I've gone. So yeah, I've not had that experience of that whole fight. And you know, watching the guys do that, it's a vertical,
it's all vertical
thing, man. And that's
crazy.
That's drag control.
Yeah,
drag control.
Definitely.
Now, what was interesting is I wish at the Appomattox thing we went to the other day, and Alderman was there, Rob Alderman, and he was talking about going at the bluefin and stuff like that, and he had an interesting technique. I don't want to talk about it because it's his technique, but he was talking about adding some drag, which is an added dimension to a fight, you know, and whew, that's a whole nother.
Well, it's kind of what we were talking about when the bluefin were going off in front of the ocean front. I contemplated doing that, and if I was to ever, I don't know if I'm going to or not, but if I did, first we talked about safety. A boat with you, but I thought like if I ever hooked something like that, like I kind of just want like a 5 gallon bucket, just to kind of
windsock,
so I can tie it off and then just throw it behind me. So it just
because a fish of that size, it takes longer
it's
for them
not,
to warm up.
I mean, you're barely putting any pressure.
But also, we have not. It's almost like fighting
I
fish
saw
an anchor.
You can put a lot of pressure on.
But you can
seen it.
It's
I've
almost,
been there.
But it's almost like an anchor.
I mean, it took we measured the time. It took an hour and a half.
Right.
And he
but he also was, that was a lot deeper water. Yeah. I mean, that fish was down. If you're, where you're talking about fishing.
That's different.
Yeah. You're not going to fight that fish up and down. You're not going to fight that fish up and down. That fish is going
to
be gone.
That's why I wanted something to drag. Because otherwise, he's going to be taking me to.
Yeah, because where we were in 250 to 400 feet of water. Yeah. And that fish stayed right under Matt the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt, he did everything perfect.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. I mean, it was magic to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that the whole thing was orchestrated, it was amazing. Up until the end when the fish just disappeared from our eyes onto the boat. Because we were going to pull it across.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just got so close. I mean, and all of a sudden, the mate on that boat was just so big. I mean, Kenny just reached out with that gaff, and that fish was out of the ocean and caught.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, at the point it was over.
Yeah.
You know, which is glorious in itself because that's an amazing.
But you guys, pretty much another minute.
It wouldn't even take
it.
I
saw it. You just want to hit one on paddle with a gaff like this. He's on the other side. He's trying to get to it. y'all were minutes away from.
Oh, it was. I wouldn't even think it was a minute. I mean, the fish was literally coming right towards us, and it just disappeared out of the ocean. It was coming towards us from behind us. Like it came behind, and it came out behind Matt, and was gone.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing the boat. I remember where the boat pictures were from. Like, I was thinking from the boat. I could see what was coming. Yeah, yeah.
You know? The fish was gone. We didn't even see him gaff it. Mm-hmm. He just disappeared out of the ocean. We just heard it coming out of the water.
But that's a different thing with the, adding a windsock or something like that. Because it's almost like having an anchored boat. But because you have that breakaway time when a fish takes off. You have that breakaway where if it breaks away with the drag, boom, and it's... You have that time before you get torque and your boat gets going.
Right.
So with that, you're... I mean, how much line is it going to get away from you? With being how much control do you have over a windsock? Can you take? Is there like a kite where you can pull part of it down and cut it in half or cut your drag in half? Because you're limited to how much line you have. And that type of fish, you're talking about a real dumping type of situation, especially if you're kind of stuck.
Yeah. And in shallow water, he's going to go
vertical.
He's going to take a lot more line because he's got scope on it as well. Not only he's not going straight down.
Yeah,
I heard. I think there was a rumor. I didn't know there was a boat that hooked one and they had to chase them in, and they almost by Cape Charles. So inside the bay, 30 miles, they followed that fish inside, which would have been great if a kayaker could have done that inside the bay. All
right,
heading to Richmond. But yeah, that's when he told me that, I was like, my brain started snapping about the pressures you gotta add. So I was like, man, I hope your foot pegs are all right. I hope your foot pegs are strong because you're gonna be putting a lot of pressure into that holding on me. Dude, anyway,
because we were fishing with jigging tackle, and you can apply a lot of pressure, but I didn't have anything dragging,
It was,
and I mean, it's oh,
yeah.
I thought I was gonna. I mean, at one point I thought I was done.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was into a fish on my right side, and a wave came up on that side, and I was into the wave like this, and the water's just coming through me. And there's, I mean, all I can try and do, I'm trying to nudge this lever drag up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
sketchy.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Those fish apply a lot.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with drag. And the direction change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with a drag sock, with direction change, you're really going to be...
That's scary.
It would fold it, wouldn't it? If
a 5 gallon bucket? That's not going to hold a 5 gallon bucket.
Tridents,
but.
And also Trident 13s especially, I'm go backwards. You get a fish that wants to. If you don't get your boat turned, if he runs this way,
it'll go backwards.
You're going to go backwards. Back. Yeah, it tracks so well backwards that you go backwards. I did it with that little red
Matt went backwards.
Yeah,
Matt went backwards on that tuna. I think he had just gotten.
You were going backwards on your shark.
On my shark, a couple times. Yep. I mean, there's a couple of times I saw him change directions like dramatic, and I was like, I put my paddle in, otherwise I wasn't gonna be able to turn enough.
Yeah.
To follow
that thing was beast.
Yeah.
The craziest part about it was that it was 4 feet of water. That's
right.
The thing about it. That was nuts. You know? It was no vertical, all crazy horizontals.
And then you catch up to him, or he'd run at you, and
boom,
back the other way. And he'd stop, just like a shark, hang out for a second, all of a sudden,
all
right.
Like, it's like all of a sudden, Scott's like, I know he's still there. Where is he going next? Next thing I know, I'm like almost losing my rod behind me.
What rod were you using for that?
That was a Talus. It's a boat.
Okay, that's that big, the big red blue, ones, right?
The Terez are the colored ones.
That's right, that's what I was thinking of.
This is the Talus Blue, something like that.
Those are nice rods.
I like this guy. For that, I like that a lot.
We fish with a few of those.
With the Daiwa 20 Saltus Leader Dread.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. Yeah, you don't need a whole lot.
No.
Yeah. In there. Yeah.
Shallow.
The crazy part is Jay and I actually saw that first. I mean, we saw the tails thrashing. I was like, well, I'm going over there.
Yeah.
Put out a dead spot. Next thing I know, it's gone.
That's crazy because we've done the exact same thing earlier in the year.
That's
on, like, bigger sharks than that.
Right.
I mean, the big sand tigers.
But it's also when they're pupping.
Yeah, and they're pupping. We've done it earlier in the year, and we've seen them, and they cause all kinds of commotion. You get over there, you can throw anything at them, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They don't want anything.
It's the craziest thing. I was working at the marina, so I was getting dolphin heads because people were coming in for
the
shore.
On the stake that sits out there.
Yeah.
We literally had them tied to the stake that's out there.
they come around, we sight cast to them with a chunk of fresh, bloody meat, and they roll right over top of it and keep on going. It's like, man,
nothing to do with
that. It's not happening.
That's not what they're thinking about.
Not that time of year. Then a couple weeks later, out front, artificials. Bam!
Yeah. Zach lures one day.
Yeah, Zach doing work. He put on a hard hat and everything.
That was awesome. That was epic. That was epic.
Yeah.
We found that hard hat on the way out. And as soon as he hooked that fish,
And we were all casting at it. We all took turns casting at it, and finally he got him right on the nose, and I saw him. I mean, it was for me to, like, it was like 5 feet away. I could saw it.
I stood up and had that thing going underneath of me. I was like, man, that's really big.
That's
the one that came at me, remember on the one on the beach?
The one that was rolling
right up the beach with me, and I nosed my kayak up on the beach and just, like, waited for him. And threw it, it was a swim shad, right? And it had the rattles in it.
Right.
So I threw it in front of him, I was like, you know, whatever, he's not going to hit it. And I started getting out of his way, and he turned and started following. And I was like, what?
Whoa.
And I reeled real quick, and he turned, and his mouth opened up, and I went, whoa! I just yanked it away. And at this point, he's so close, he turns, and his tail hits me. I didn't know.
These are big sharks.
Yeah, these are like, I think these are bulls, too, because they were, you know, aggressive. I mean, artificials.
Yeah.
You know, and then Zach, we're all casting them, and Zach thing turns on it and bites, and...
He was in for a ride.
Howard had all.
He had that thing 6 feet underneath of him and couldn't pull it up to get a good look at it.
And then at the end, he tightened it a little bit too much and just popped off right at the reel.
Yep. And he also, I think he was going this way and the fish kind of turned at some point too and he kind of got sideways. I remember something like that going on right at the end.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
But it was going in and that was the thing.
It wasn't screaming out.
They didn't go out to the ocean.
We were out on the ocean side and that thing, that was the thing. It was like, we could target this, you know, for a citation or whatever, but it's going to pull us out in the ocean. And we were like, okay, as soon as he starts going out, just cut your line because we ain't going to follow you out there.
Not over there anyway.
Yeah, and then it started going in the inlet. And I was like, wow.
You guys were talking about beaching it. If you could just grab the leader right there, it would have been.
I want to see it. Yeah. Besides, I was swimming underneath of me, which was fine.
How big do you think that was?
That was at 8, 9.
It was a big shark.
That one I saw. Was it last? This past spring. That was as big as my boat. That was sketchy. That was like a whale looking thing. That was a little big. Sat me down.
Yeah.
Yep. So I was like, I'm going to paddle away real light. I'm going to get this lure up. I don't even want him to take it.
Don't touch it. Have you guys ever seen any whales inside the bay?
Yeah. We saw them at the bridge.
I saw one the other day.
Really?
I saw
that's
one
right, you're going
on the way when I went to go fish with Kevin the other day with Maggie, and we came out of the second island. You know, we're driving, and you could see the curve in the third, right before the third island, and I just saw the spout.
Yeah.
And I was like, Maggie.
Look at that.
She's never seen a whale before. So I'm like, Maggie, there's a whale up in front of us. She's like, huh?
What?
I was like, yeah, just watch. Watch.
The curve.
Its next move, a complete breach.
Wow.
It came, like, out. Head out of the water and
hey, you had her eyeballs right on it.
Yeah, and I had her already watching. I mean, it was probably a mile away, but we were above it, so you could see it, you know what I mean?
That's funny.
But it was a whale. She saw a whale come out of the water. And
we see him at the bridge, too.
I was asking, because actually, this was my first time was, I think it was in March. I was tog fishing and just, hanging out by the piling. I look over, and it's probably like a quarter mile west of the bridge.
Right.
Yeah. It was inside.
Yep. Yeah. Inside the rip.
He breached probably like 10 times.
Yeah.
It was like
that day we saw him. It was really close to the bridge. I mean, it was.
Yeah. Like
imagine being a little tog and seeing this whale come by.
Right. And this thing was like fill up between the pilings big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was like.
We saw him around the first island before.
Yeah.
Nuts.
I've seen them from working at the ocean front. I've seen them out like close enough to the surf that you could see them from the boardwalk.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.